This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. حفرة تحتوي ويسلم فيها الحبيب الحبيب أو المرأة تعجب نفسه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. Welcome brothers and sisters in Islam and dear friends to our series of lectures on the journey to the hereafter. Today بإذن الله we'll be taking one of the most important tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for the believers. And that test is the test of the Sirat. And the Sirat is an amazing test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a test upon which even the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be so afraid, a test which even the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety from that test. But before that, we had spoken yesterday about how we would all meet up at Al-Kawthar, insha'Allah ta'ala, if we die upon Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, we will all insha'Allah meet up at Al-Kawthar. In the meanwhile, the disbelievers are being thrown into the fire of hell. Whilst the disbelievers are being thrown into the fire of hell, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, out of His immense justice, will not only judge between the disbelievers and the believers and the jinn and mankind, but He will also judge between the animals as well, between the animals who hurt each other. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he will even, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so just that he will even judge between a horned ram that hurt a ram that doesn't have horns and did something some harm to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them and give them compensation. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has judged even between animals and perfected His justice and shown the perfection of His justice upon the creation, at that point He will say, "Kun turaba," he will tell all of these animals to become like dust. And at that point, whilst the disbeliever is being thrown into the fire, and obviously he's still blind and he doesn't know, all he can hear and smell is that he's being dragged and he's being thrown into the fire of hell, and he's trying to scream but he can't speak, neither can he hear nor can he see, but he senses that the animals are all being turned into dust. At that point, the disbeliever will say, "Ya laytani kuntu turaba," oh how I wish I was dust, oh how I wish I was dust. Before that, remember, at the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving, had ordered His book to be presented in His left hand, and His judgment was pronounced that He would dwell in hellfire for eternity. And at that point, the disbeliever had said, "Ya laytaha kanat al-qadiyah," oh how I wish the death was the end of it. And now again, he is in so much regret that he's constantly hoping that he was actually a dust, that he was never a human being that actually was going to be accountable, that he was perhaps a plant that was cut down and eaten, and so was therefore never to be accountable. Subhanallah. So much so that even the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ were so afraid of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was well known that he would be from the people of Jannah, and Rasulullah ﷺ had already told him that he would be from the people of Jannah, even Abu Bakr used to say, "Oh, how I wish I was a plant that was cut down and eaten up. Oh, how I wish I was a tree that was cut down and eaten up." And even Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to say that, "Wallahi, if I had the earth and everything that was in it, I would give it all away. I will give it all away." This is on his deathbed. And Umar knew, radiallahu anhu, knew that he would be with Rasulullah ﷺ in Jannah. And Rasulullah ﷺ had already told him about the palaces that Umar radiallahu anhu would have in Jannah. At that point, Umar radiallahu anhu, on his deathbed even, he said, "Oh, how I wish that I had everything in this world, if I had everything in this world, I would give it away to preserve myself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the fear that the companions had. This is the fear that we should have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then thereafter, we'll be asked to come towards the bridge. And we come to this issue of the bridge, the Sirat, which we have all heard of perhaps. And this is a Sirat that will be a bridge between connecting the plane of resurrection and the plane which is just before the earth, which is just before the gates of Jannah. And so between them is a small thin rope. And below the rope is Jahannam. So the Sirat is actually above Jahannam. And as Rasulullah ﷺ described it, I'll describe to you as Rasulullah ﷺ described the Sirat. He said the Sirat would be sharper than the sword. He also said the Sirat would be thinner than hair. He also said the Sirat would have hooks, would have thorns on his side that will cut the people as they try and cross, and that will try and hold them back, and that will try and grab people as they try and cross. And also on top of that, from the fire of hell are huge claws that come out of the fire to grab the people as they're trying to cross the bridge, and grab them and then pull them down into hellfire. And subhanallah, this is the sirat, and upon which when even the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come upon it, they will say, oh Allah, sallim, sallim, oh Allah, how are we going to cross this? Have you ever imagined, for example, have you seen an acrobat in a circus doing the tightrope, for example, and how he was standing? Wallahi, he sometimes acrobats, as you know, they use a stick to balance. We will not have any stick to balance. We will have to cross this thin wire, which is thinner than hair. Thinner than hair. Just take a hair of yours and see how thin that is, and is sharper than a sword. How in the world are we going to cross this? How in the world is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expecting us to cross this? Surely we cannot cross this except with the mercy of Allah. Surely we cannot cross it except by having this amazing tawakkul and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, surely if you had tawakkul on Allah, if you had truly relied on Allah and had true reliance on Allah as you truly should rely on Him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would provide for you every day, just as He provides for the birds, that they go out in the morning with an empty stomach and they come back at night with their stomachs full. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for every creation, and we never knew where they would ever get their food. So let's all try and have this amazing tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want you to say something with me. Say hasbunallah. Say hasbunallahu ni'mal wakil. Hasbunallahu ni'mal wakil. Hasbunallahu ni'mal wakil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for us, and enough is He a protector, and enough is He a safeguard, and enough is He a helper for us. And if you say that bi'idhnillah, inshallah, this is what will take us across. And truly, if you say that, no harm will come up upon us, because truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for us. And if He tested that, if He's the one who created the sirat, then He will surely help us to cross it bi'idhnillah. And remember the tawakkul that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had when he crossed, when he was tested by being thrown into the fire, and when he was tested by being in front of the king and having to defend himself and his faith, when he was tested by being asked to leave his family in the plains of Makkah when it was barren and there was no one there, he was asked to leave his wife and his newly born child on the plains of Makkah, and there was no water there at all. Imagine the tawakkul that he had, and also imagine the tawakkul that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had when he was asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to even slaughter his own son. At that point, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam went ahead and tried to slaughter his son, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have indeed succeeded in your test. And at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced that Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam with a ram from Jannah, and he slaughtered the ram instead. And so we find this is the tawakkul that we should have. And as a result, the fruits of tawakkul, look at the Zamzam water feeding millions and billions until the day of judgment, and it will continue to do so. A small spring, where it comes from, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, never dries up and will never dry up until the day of judgment bi-idhnillah, by the will of Allah. This is the fruit of tawakkul. If you truly have it, Allah will surely let you cross. And as a result of this tawakkul and of the people's good deeds, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said people will cross, some of them will cross that bridge at lightning speed, and others will cross at the speed of a fast horse, and yet others the speed of a fast camel, and yet others will try and run, and yet others will walk, and yet others will crawl on that sirat and try and cross, and subhanallah, at these speeds, according to the level of your iman and your taqwa, you will have to cross bi-idhnillah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the people of strong iman, and for us to go back to worshipping Him bi-idhnillah. Then thereafter we are on the plains just before Jannah. We are on the plains of Jannah, and whilst people are crossing, the people of Kaba'ir, the people who did major sins, will be thrown into Jahannam. Will the claws of Jahannam will grab them and will tuck them in the face down. And as the hadith mentioned, that they will come and they'll grab the face, and then we'll pull the people down by grabbing the face down into Jahannam. As people are doing that, as all of this is happening, the people in on the plains of just before Jahannam, just before Jannah, are then accounted for once again. So they will have the second accounting. What is that accounting? At that point, the believers, because no one will cross into that plain just before Jannah, except the believers, except those people who died as Muslimin, and who were upon Islam, and they died upon the Shahada, and they, of course, used to be from the people who used to pray. Because if you do not pray, then you cannot be a Muslim. And at that point, whilst they're standing on that plain just before the gates of Jannah, on that plain, the people will be judged between the differences that they had between themselves. So the Muslim brother who had a problem with his other Muslim brother, this one slandered his Muslim brother, this one took the right of his Muslim brother. On that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge between them. And at that point, those people who had slandered his Muslim brother, had spoken back against him, had given him up to the disbelievers, had harmed his Muslim brother in any way, had spoken ill of him, perhaps backbitten him, etc., will give his deeds to his Muslim brother. And at that point, if this person does not have any more good deeds, he will be then thrown into the fire of hell. Subhanallah. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow people to intercede for the people in Jahannam. And so at that point, Rasulullah will intercede for the people of Ahlul Kabair, for the people who are from the people of those who actually died, those who were put into hellfire, and they were the ones who did the major sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not forgive them, and so Allah punished them in the fire, such as the ones who drank alcohol, such as, for example, the ones who committed zina, such as the ones who acted with magic and they spread black magic and they did these acts, such as, for example, those people who killed a soul without due right and murdered anybody without due right, but they were still Muslimin. These are the people that Rasulullah will make dua for, and for them to be taken out of the fire. After all of that, of course, the angels will also intercede. Also, the shuhada, the martyrs, will also intercede for 70 people from his family and friends. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let the scholars intercede and the righteous people intercede on behalf of themselves and for their families. Also, people will intercede for their friends, and Muslims will intercede for their friends. And at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take people out of Jahannam because of their friendship. And this is something we must remember, to actually have and strengthen our friendship. My brothers and sisters in Islam, nothing can break us up. Remember that we will be friends on that day, inshallah, by the will of Allah, if we truly believe. And so let's preserve our unity, let's preserve our friendship in this life. Otherwise, we cannot be friends on the hereafter. And subhanAllah, it is for our own interest to preserve our friendship. Do we not want our friends to ask Allah to plead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, we fasted with him. Oh Allah, we prayed with him. Oh Allah, we fasted together in Ramadan. We prayed Taraweeh together in Ramadan. Oh Allah, we did Hajj together in Ramadan. Oh Allah, I know this brother, he gives zakat in your cause. Oh Allah, please accept our intercession for him and take him out of the fire." Do you not want that? Surely we do. So preserve our unity in this life. Preserve our friendship in this life. Nothing can break us up. Wallahi, nothing can break us up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, "Innamal mu'minuna ikhwa." Verily the believers are brothers. Verily the believers are brothers. "Fa'aslihu bayna akhawaykum." So therefore, join the hearts between the brothers and sisters. Join their hearts. Let people forgive. Let people forgive each other. Let overlook those harms. If he has insulted you, if she has insulted you, so what? Forgive him. If she has stolen from you, if he has stolen from you, so what? Just say it's a gift for you, my brother. If he has harmed you in some way, then just make dua for him. May Allah forgive you. May Allah forgive me. Perhaps I have also harmed you in one way, and I don't even know. So be forgiving and overlook the fault. Sometimes some people may even harm you with worse than that. Sometimes people get angry because some people has harmed their family members, or perhaps said a word of incorrectness against a lie or slander, etc., against the family. This is all an attack on the honor. Forgive them, my brothers and sisters in Islam, because our unity and our brotherhood is more important. Surely on that plane just before Jannah, we will remember that our unity and our brotherhood is more important than these petty differences. and arguments that we have. Surely even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that even if we were to kill each other, we are still brothers. Yes, if we were to kill each other, and if I were to kill your child, for example, and your apple of your eye, your beloved child or your beloved wife, even then, for example, I would still be your brother. Look at that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقَصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَ. Verily, the punishment for manslaughter is capital punishment. And this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained. الْحُرُّ بِالْحُرِّ, with the free man for the free man. وَالْعَبْدُ بِالْعَبْدِ, and the slave for the slave. وَالْأُنْثَ بِالْأُنْثَ, and the woman with the woman. And then look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ. So whoever his brother forgives him. Who is Allah talking about? Allah is talking about the wali al-maqtul, the wali, the guardian of the person who is killed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so if the wali of the person who has been killed forgives the murderer, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word akhi, so here we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that even if the murderer has killed a Muslim's child or any person under their care, even then they are still brothers. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still uses the word akhi, you know, whoever, فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ فَاتِّبَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَدَاءٌ بِالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and at that point, please, do not forget that even if I were to kill you and kill your brothers, you'd still be my brothers, you'd still be my friends, you'd still be my brother and my sister. So please, brothers and sisters in Islam, join your hearts and come back with unity, bi-idhnillah. And thereafter, after the Muslims had interceded for their brothers, at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will intercede. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, the intercessors have interceded, now there is no one left to intercede except the rahmah of Allah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take a scoop of people, and with a big scoop, He will take people out of Jannah, those people who have no khair that they have ever done, except that they died as believers. However, they were still being punished, and they were not the people who were taken out of Jahannam because of the intercession as yet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them out of the terrible torment of the fire and put them inshallah into Jannah. And these people are the people who had no good deed, or they died upon no good deed except that they were still believers. And I remember reading that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, he used to say, oh Allah, I know that I have done nothing in your cause. Oh Allah, this is Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, a person who was so righteous, who used to pray 2 rak'ah istikhara with every hadith he used to write down. And what a righteous imam he was, how much hadith he had memorized, how righteous he was. He died as such a righteous Muslim, a scholar of Islam. And look how much of the ummah, billions of people all benefiting from the hadith that he had collected. This is the same Bukhari who used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night. He used to say, oh Allah, when he wrote this hadith down about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, when he would take out from Jahannam those people who had done no good. At that point, Imam Bukhari used to say, oh Allah, I know I have done nothing in your cause. Oh Allah, I know I have done nothing. Ya Allah, I'm thinking and I cannot think of anything that I've done which is significant, oh Allah, to deserve your mercy. Oh Allah, please, oh Allah, take me out of the fire. Oh Allah, please take me out of the fire. Oh Allah, please include me from those people that will be taken out of the fire in your mercy. Yani this righteous imam. This righteous imam making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be so strict in punishment and so severe in his accounting that subhanallah, perhaps he will not, even this imam might not escape punishment. And look at the fear and the taqwa he had in his heart, and he used to make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, I know I will not escape the Jahannam, and so please, with your mercy, from that group that you take out from Jahannam, please include me in that group, Ya Allah. At least please include me in that group. So are you of those people, my brothers and sisters in Islam, who you think that you have guaranteed yourself Jannah? Be like this imam and have taqwa and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking that truly we have not attained paradise as yet, and we are probably from the people who are from Jahannam. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please forgive us and make us from those people who enter Jannah. Oh Allah, make us from those people who are forgiven and from those people who are taken out of the hellfire by your mercy. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen. Thereafter, brothers and sisters in Islam, people will be put near the gates of Jannah and made into rows of 120. However, 120 rows, because as the hadith mentioned, people will enter Jannah into 120 rows. And inshallah, we will come to the description of Jannah in the next couple of episodes, inshallah. But before that, a group of people will be taken out of this group and will be put on a plain which is just above the plain of this plain before the gates of Jannah. And this place is called Al-A'raf. It's a special place called the Plains of Al-A'raf. And this Al-A'raf is a place where there are fruit trees, and it's like this earth, except that these people are forbidden from entering Jannah, and they're also forbidden from entering Jahannam. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned, who are these people? And this surah, if you want to go back to, this is the seventh surah in the Quran, as Allah says in the Quran, وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٌ يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ وَنَادَوْا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ. Upon the A'raf are men who recognize the people of Jannah by their signs, and they say salam to your people of Jannah. They have not entered, the people of Araf have not entered Jannah, but they are hoping to enter Jannah by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are these people? These are the people who disobeyed their parents, and so Jannah was forbidden for them. At the same time, they struggled and they fought in the cause of Allah, and as a result, Jahannam was forbidden for them. And so subhanAllah, look at this. If you disobey your parents, Jannah is forbidden from you. If you disobey your parents, Jannah is disobeyed from you. And of course, these are the people who will be put upon A'raf, and perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. And subhanAllah, remember brothers and sisters in Islam, be good to our parents. Truly they are our best friends. Why should we not be good to them? Because truly, how much difficulty did they go through? And wallahi, I remember a narration where one of the companions of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was actually Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, carried his mother on his back all throughout Hajj, throughout Arafat and Mina and Muzdalifa and all of Tawaf. And then he came back to Abdullah ibn Abbas and said, oh Abdullah ibn Abbas, I did all of Hajj with my mother on my back. At that point Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, wallahi, this does not make up for even one tinge of pain that your mother went through. This does not make up for even one tinge of pain your mother went through when she was delivering to you. So how, subhanAllah, how kind are our parents to us? How much good and ni'mah and blessings did they have for us? Truly they are our best friends, even if we do not realize it. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, remember that we must be righteous to our parents. We must not be ashamed of them. Take the example of the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ, when they used to have a child that was born, and they used to bring it to Rasulullah, and they used to say, ya Rasulullah, look at my child. Oh people, look at my child. This is how great my child is. Whereas now that we have grown older, and our parents used to do that with us, now that we have grown older, we are embarrassed of bringing our fathers and our mothers in front of our group and saying, oh people, look, this is my beloved father. Oh people, look, this is my beloved mother. This is my best friend. These are the people that I love for the sake of Allah. They are the people who have had so much good upon me. So I'm proud of them just like they were proud of me. My brothers and sisters in Islam, do not disobey your parents. Be good to them. Be kind to them. And remember, paradise is under the feet of your mothers. Paradise is under the feet of your mothers. I remember the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ wherein a man was asked, a companion of Rasulullah ﷺ was asked by Rasulullah to say La ilaha illallah at the time of his death. And he was not able to say La ilaha illallah. This is a companion of Rasulullah ﷺ in an authentic hadith in Abi Dawud. He was told to say La ilaha illallah and he could not say it. At that point Rasulullah ﷺ said, search for his mother, something could have happened. And they found his mother, and his mother was angry with him. And they said, what is wrong, O mother? Why is it that you're angry with him? She said, because he prefers his wife over me. Something as simple as that, his mother was angry, and this companion of Rasulullah ﷺ could not say La ilaha illallah. And subhanAllah, at that point Rasulullah ﷺ said, gather all the wood and build the fire. Do you want us to throw your son into the fire? Do you want Allah to punish your son in a fire? At that point the mother said, no, I forgive my son. At that point the people rushed back to the companion and said, say La ilaha illallah. At that point the companion, may Allah have mercy upon him, said La ilaha illallah and he died. Ya salam, we could be prevented from dying as Muslims because of our disbelief, of being dishonorable with our parents. So please honor your parents, make dua for them, do not speak bad about them, do not prefer anyone over them, be kind to them, as Allah says in the Quran, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained that you do not worship anyone but Allah. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and kindness to parents. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدَهُمَا, if one of them reaches old age with you, أو كلاهما, or both of them, فلا تقل لهما أوف, so don't say no to them, ولا تنحرهما, nor shun them, say go away, stay there, you old man, you old woman, don't be harm to them, ولا تقل لهما, don't even say أوف to them, so therefore how can you say even worse to them, ولا تقل لهما أوف ولا تنحرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما, and say to them a beautiful word, واخفض لهما جناح الظل من الرحمة, and spread your wings of mercy around them, وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا, and say to them, oh Allah, have mercy on them just as they used to have mercy with me. And I ask my beloved parents, also to be kind to your children as well. For the first 7 years, play with them. For the next 7 years, teach them. For the next 7 years, be their friends, because truly they need your friendship now. And I know that a lot of things that you're doing for them is because of your love for them, but be their friends. And in a time like this, in the 21st century, with all the difficulties that the youth are going through, the best thing the parents can do is actually be their friends. So be their friends, teach them to obey you, to be kind to you, to respect you, to love you. Teach them the manners that you have learned. Teach them your values. Teach them to be true men. Teach them to be true women. And impart upon them your love. And remember that if they make dua for you, then truly you will raise up in Jannah. And on that day, parents will be told to go higher, higher in Jannah. And on that day, the people will say, "Oh Allah," the parents will say, "Oh Allah, why are you keeping us go higher, higher in Jannah?" At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "This is because of the dua of your children for you." I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our parents, preserve our parents, to enter them into Jannah, to forgive them and be kind to them just like they were kind, and to make us true friends with our parents, and to make our friends true friends with us. Until the next episode, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.